Morning. It's good to see everybody. Let me tell you what I did last weekend. I went to Iowa, and as we were headed towards Iowa, I told Joanna, we're going the wrong direction. It was 55 degrees in Ozark, and when we got to Iowa, I think it was in the 20s. So why'd I go to Iowa? So I went to see some family. I was scheduled to speak at a church up there, so I went to teach the Bible. I went to enjoy some fellowship. But why did I go to Iowa last weekend as opposed to any other weekend? Well, if you didn't know, this is a special time of year. This is when the deer, their antlers fall off their heads. You call those sheds. And so I went up to Iowa to wander all over these cornfields looking for deer antlers. And if you've never had a good time, that's a good time. Hope is what took me to Iowa. I was really hoping to find some antlers. Hope can be very motivating. Hope leads you to do things that you wouldn't normally do. In my case, hope leads me to do things that probably normal people wouldn't do. I was up there to look for antlers, and there was nothing that was going to stop me from walking around and trying to find some Iowa antlers. Saturday morning, it was miserable in Iowa. When you imagine Iowa in the winter, that's what I got when I was up there. It was about 30 degrees Saturday morning. There was 6 inches of very wet snow on the ground, and it was raining. So I walked around for quite a while, hours and hours, a couple miles worth of walking, looking for deer antlers. And I found this little bitty, tiny baby deer antler. I'm guessing if I would have looked hard enough, I probably could have found a very similar antler in Missouri. I did all of this just hoping that I would find a great big Iowa deer antler. This morning, I want to talk about hope. As Christians, hope is one of the three pillars of the Christian life. You think of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. He says, "Now abides three things, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. But of those three pillars, hope is one of them." Obviously, the way that we use the word hope can be a little bit fluid, and there's nothing wrong with that. I went to Iowa hoping I would find antlers. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. When I went to Iowa, I was really hoping it wouldn't snow, but it's Iowa in March, and there's usually a little snow on the ground. When we use the word hope, usually what we mean is we kind of hope something happens, but maybe it won't happen, maybe it will happen. We just hope that it does. When we, as Christians, when we talk about our hope, the kind of hope we have is supposed to be different from this. In the Christian life, hope is an expectation. Here's an example. As a farmer in the spring, they plant seed in the ground and they hope it grows. Do you think they put the seed in the ground thinking to themselves, maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't, but I hope that it does? I'm going to guess that's not really how it works. If you've ever planted a garden, you have a similar experience. You put some seed in the ground and you hope that it grows, but you also expect that it will grow. It's possible it won't, but you have every reason to believe that it will. You've picked out a certain kind of seed. You're putting it in the ground at a certain time of year under the right conditions. And you expect that the seed will grow. And most likely it will. Hope is not an unreasonable thought or dream. In the Christian life, hope is a calculated expectation. As we talk about hope this morning, for me, this is really enjoyable studying for this topic. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on hope. It's very possible someone gave one last week. I'm not here that often, but I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon on hope. So as I was studying for this topic, it was a very original experience for me. I wasn't piecing together thoughts that I've heard before. It was just going through the Bible, seeing what God says about hope. And what I found is that there's really a few thoughts that are emphasized on hope. Hope has an object and hope has a source. In other words, we are expecting something. That's what hope is. We're looking forward to something. But then there's also a source of hope. We have a reason to believe that our expectations will be realized. And it is very important that our object of our hope and the source of our hope is based in reality, in line with what God actually teaches. So let's talk about the object of our hope. What is the object of your hope? As a Christian, you have hope. But what is the object? In other words, what are you looking for? When you imagine the light at the end of the tunnel, what is it? What is the light? When you imagine what's on the other side of the finish line, what's there? What are you hoping for? As you live in faith, as you work in this life through love, what are you doing this for? What are you hoping for? So I went to the Bible to see how people in the Bible answered this question. One place where we can read about this is over in Acts chapter 24. You can turn there with me if you want, but here's the context. Paul, very near the end of his life, he's on his way to Rome, and he's having to defend himself in front of several people. And in one of these cases where he's defending the gospel and defending himself is in Acts chapter 24. He was being questioned about all of this, all these things that he's teaching. In Acts chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, he explained exactly what he was hoping for. Paul, why are you doing all these things? He tells us why. Acts chapter 24, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. So Paul said, I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection of the dead. In other words, Paul is saying, I do all of these things because I have hope in God that the dead will rise. Paul's saying, I do all of these things because I don't think that death is the end. Paul talks about this idea again over in Romans chapter 8. You can turn here with me if you want. Romans chapter 8. Once again, the subject is hope. And Paul says the same thing. What are you hoping for in life? When you do all these things that you do as a Christian, what is it all for? What are you hoping for? Well, he tells us about this. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 20. Paul says, for the creation was not subjected to futility, that's the process of decay and death, not willingly, in other words, we didn't ask for this, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Paul says the same thing in another way. We are waiting for and hoping for the redemption of our bodies. Everything that we sacrifice in this life, the things that we suffer through in this life, it's all because we are hoping for a new body in eternity. Our hope is our belief that death is not the end. That's our hope. Our hope is this belief that death is not the end. How different would your life be if death was the end? Just try to think about that for a second. It'd change everything. How different would your life be if death was the end? If you didn't have any expectation of something beyond this life? There's a lot of sacrifices you wouldn't make. And that's just the reality. There's a lot of sacrifices you wouldn't make right now. Because this is it. But because you have hope that this isn't it, you do make sacrifices right now. You do suffer in ways that you wouldn't normally suffer. You live a positive life with the expectation, with the hope, that there's something else beyond this life. And the way Paul describes it is the resurrection of the dead and the redemption of this body. We eagerly await for it. So, what's the object of our hope? What's the thing that we're hoping for? We're hoping for eternity with God, the resurrection of our bodies. So here's a question. Is it possible to live the Christian life and have your hope in the wrong things? I think it definitely is. And if you did hope for the wrong things, you wouldn't be the first. This is a very human thing to do. After Jesus died, his apostles were a little confused. They still didn't totally understand what was going on. You remember the story in the book of Luke where there's two men on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about Jesus and all these things that happened. This is Luke chapter 24. They're talking about Jesus, and who shows up to talk to him? Jesus. Jesus shows up while they're having a conversation about Jesus, and Jesus talks to them about Jesus. Of course, they don't know that it's Jesus talking to them. And Jesus basically says to them, well, what's all the fuss about? What are you guys talking about? And then here's their response. Luke chapter 24, verse 2. Here's what they say. We were hoping that it would be He who was going to redeem Israel. Now, Jesus did redeem Israel, but not in the way that they were hoping. He did redeem Israel, but not the way that they were hoping. What they were hoping for was some kind of physical redemption where they were, you know, again placed on top of the world and reigning independently, sovereignly. And this wasn't a totally unreasonable thing to hope for. Is that a carnal thing to hope for? Not really. Not really. But it was wrong. And that's the point. What they were hoping for was wrong. All these years that they'd been following Jesus, their expectation was incorrect. They sometimes got it, but a lot of times they didn't get it. What they were hoping for was wrong. The point is, sometimes when people come to Christ, we might hope for the wrong things. We might have all of our expectations built around the wrong things. And this is not hypothetical, this is real. Sometimes people come to Christ in the hope that maybe in Christ they'll have freedom from enemies. Maybe in Christ they'll accumulate friends or wealth or prosperity or secular success. And if we're hoping for those things, sometimes we'll get them, sometimes we won't. That kind of hope ends in disappointment. It is possible to live the Christian life and be hoping for the wrong things in return. I mean, a real example. Just about 2 weeks ago, I was contacted to help a person. And this person became a Christian, but their hope was in the wrong place. They had suffered tremendously as a child. And they admitted that they came to Christ in the hope that that suffering would end. And it didn't. It didn't end when they came to Christ. And that has been a great challenge for them because they thought in Christ that suffering goes away. But that's not how Christ operates. And that's not the hope that we're supposed to live with. What we hope for as Christians, the object of our hope, the thing that's at the other side of the finish line, the light at the end of the tunnel, is the resurrection of our bodies and our expectation that we'll be with God in eternity. That's what we're hoping for. That's why we live the Christian life. So, the next question. If that's what we're hoping for, what is the source of our hope? Why do we actually believe that that's a reasonable thing to hope for? And this is an easy answer. God, through Jesus, is our hope. Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. But why? For with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. In God, through Jesus, He offers us hope and confidence in that hope that you just don't get anywhere else. So why do you hope in the Lord for eternity and not somewhere else? Because, according to this psalm, the Lord offers hope because the Lord is merciful and the Lord offers abundant redemption. You're in a bad situation. You sin. You're separated from God. How do you get out of that? It's through God, through Christ. Only God offers a real way and a real reason to have hope in eternity. When the prophet Jeremiah saw the suffering of the people of Israel when they'd been taken into captivity in Babylon, Jeremiah thought about this exact thing. Jeremiah was the one who wrote the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is him weeping over the condition of Israel. And he thought about the mercy of God. When he saw the people suffering, this was the thought that came to mind. This is Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, I'm going to start reading verse 21. So, Jeremiah is observing the suffering of Israel. And here's what he says. Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 21. This I recall to my mind. In other words, I remembered something. Therefore, I have hope. So what did Jeremiah remember that gave him hope? Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If you can remember that in the Lord there's hope, it makes a lot of the suffering in this life seem a lot smaller. So God is the source of our hope. And here's another interesting thought. If God is the source of hope, by extension, God's Word is also supposed to be a source of hope. Let me just read a few verses that talk about this. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Same chapter, verse 147. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. So David talks about this, Jeremiah talks about this, and then when we fast forward to the New Testament, it's still the same thing. Our hope is founded on God and God's Word. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. So another question, what does that even mean? What does it even mean that your hope is built on the Word of God? Here's what I think it means. God's Word defines everything that you can hope for. So it defines the object of our hope, which is eternity, the resurrection of our bodies. So God's Word defines everything that we should hope for. But God's Word also provides validation of that hope. There's a lot of good words in this world, a lot of good books in this world. But your hope must be built on the only word that offers real hope. And there's only one place to buy it, find it. It's in the Bible. This is such a simple thought, but it's a real thing. If you want to have hope in eternity, a valid hope in eternity, that hope has to be built on the Word of God. If it's built on anything else, it's not valid. So what do you look for in the Word of God that gives you hope? So here's the thing. The main thing that you find in the Word of God that gives you hope, that makes the object of your hope valid, what you see in the Word of God is that God fulfills His promises. That's what you're supposed to see. That's why you can have hope in God, and that's what the Word of God gives you. Validation that God fulfills His promises. The day that Adam and Eve sinned, God made a promise. I'm going to take care of this. And through the entire Old Testament, God makes promises, and He keeps those promises. He makes promises, He keeps those promises. You make a prayer to God, God answers that prayer. Validation that you have a reason to have hope in God. Is it possible to have your hope built on false foundations? Yes. Let me give you an example. Sometimes when I teach at school, students won't do so well on tests. That happens every once in a while. And they'll come to me and they'll say, well, Tad, I took the practice quiz once and I went through the flashcards. It took me like 30 minutes. And I didn't do very good on your exam. So there's some good things about those statements and some bad things. The object of their hope is correct. They wanted to do good on the exam. Is that what they should have been hoping for? Yeah, they should have been hoping to do good on the exam. But the source of their hope, they expected to do well and they didn't. Why not? Because the foundation of their hope was wrong. They'd built their expectation on spending just a few minutes studying. Well, that's not a very good foundation. You're not going to do good on an exam if you only study for 30 minutes. The point is, the object of your hope can be right. You can be hoping for the right things, but the foundation of your hope can still be wrong. We could build our hope in eternity on a lot of things that don't sound that bad, but they're still wrong foundations. You could build your hope on the foundation of feelings or experiences or friendships. You could even build your hope on the church, and that's a wrong foundation. Now you might think, well, that's weird. That doesn't sound right. Your hope in eternity is not about the people in this room. Your hope in eternity is not about having good relationships with people in this room. You can have all of those things and a lot of other good things, but that doesn't necessarily make your hope in eternity valid. Your hope in eternity is in God and your conviction that God fulfills His promises. And that's what makes our hope valid. If you lost, let me try to make it real for a second. If you lost everything in life, don't think about this too long, just for right now. But if you lost everything in life, you lost your house, you lost any kind of financial support that you had, if you lost your family, if you lost your job, if you lost everybody in this church, if it was just you and nothing else, would you still have hope in eternity? Would you still care about life anymore? Would you still think about spiritual things? If the answer is no, then your hope is built on false foundations. Our hope, the thing that makes our hope real and sustainable and valid, is our conviction that God fulfills His promises. And believing that even if everything else in life is gone, on the other side of this life, we are convicted that we will see the face of God. And it's only our hope in God and the hope that we see validated through the Word of God that makes this a real expectation. Here's an example in the Bible where David is talking about the difference between having your hope built on real things and false things. Psalm 33, I'm going to start reading in verse 16. Again, he's talking about the difference between hoping, putting your hope in the wrong things, and putting your hope in the right things. This is Psalm 33, verse 16. David says, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we have hope in You." When you're in a bad place in life, there's really only one thing that offers you real hope, and that's God. If your hope is in anything else, that foundation is false, and there's a very high level of probability that that hope will fail you. So what exactly does hope do for you? What's the benefit of having hope? Now, to start with, it's hard to imagine a Christian who doesn't have hope. If you don't have hope, what are you doing here today? If you don't have hope, why are you here? If you don't actually believe that you're going to see the face of God on the other side of death, what's the point of being here? Hope is very motivating. Hope enables us. So in one sentence, what does hope do for you? Hope enables you and motivates you to live with a joyful expectation of eternity. Sometimes in this life we have fear, we have doubt, but hope always wins. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Sometimes in this life we have trials, we have sadness, we've got heartaches, headaches, but when you have hope, hope conquers all of those things. Hope is what helps us to carry on. Hope, I think this is an important thought here. Hope is the prevailing perspective in every hard situation. That's what hope is. When things are bad, what do you think about the most? Well, you've got two choices. You can be sad about it, you can pout about it, or you can think about hope. You can think about hope. Hope gives us perseverance. The word hope appears about 135 times in the Bible. More often than anywhere else, it's in the book of Psalms, which Psalms got a good chance of having a lot of the words the most number of times because Psalms is the biggest book, but appears more often than Psalms. What book do you think has the second highest frequency of references to hope? It's actually the book of Job. When you think about it, that's not too surprising. When a person is suffering, when you've got trials, hope is going to be on the mind. And for Job and his friends, that's basically what the book of Job is. It's a conversation between Job and his friends. We get to see into their minds and their thoughts and Job's mind and Job's thoughts. And hope was the topic of conversation the entire time. And hope ultimately is what helps us to persevere. Why is it that Job didn't take the advice of his wife and just curse God and die? Because he had hope that he would see the face of his Redeemer. And that's what he said. And that's true for us as well. You know, most of us have really never had to suffer as a Christian. But if we ever do have to suffer as Christians, we'll find out very quickly how much hope we actually have. Because if you have hope, you'll be willing to suffer. Because you believe that on the other side of death is eternity with God. So, hope helps us to persevere. Hope also gives us a lot of happiness in life that we wouldn't otherwise have. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I find this to be true on a daily basis. If you think too hard, there's a lot of things in life that can make you sad. But hope is what gives you happiness. If you have nothing else to think about, there's happiness in hoping for eternity. Something else that hope does for us. Hope gives us peace. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 talks about this. Paul says to the Roman church, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It's not an accident that hope, God being the God of hope, that hope is attached to joy and to peace. You're not afraid to die because you know that death isn't the end. There's a lot of people in this life where their only objective is to stay alive. And they spend a lot of their days thinking about that. They don't have much peace in life because they don't have the kind of hope that we can have as Christians. So in closing, let me read one more verse that I think sort of puts all of this together, thinking about our perspective as in regards to hope. The object of our hope is eternity. That's what we hope for. We anticipate and expect to experience a resurrection of our bodies someday. We expect to see the face of God. That's what we're hoping for. And our hope is in God Himself and through the blood of Jesus and His mercy and His grace. And we validate all of this, seeing that in the Bible, God fulfills His promises. That's the source of our hope. We see all the good things that hope does for us. And so, having considered all those things, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's why you can have hope. God fulfills his promises. Let me tell you a short story before we close. Every once in a while, we have students that come through our program that at some point during the program make it pretty obvious they're just not going to make it. So this last semester, we had a girl who, in my class, was not passing the course. The only assignment left was the final exam, and she needed a 96% on the final to pass the course. She had a week until she took the final, so the program director and I sat down with this student, and we told her, we said, hey, you need a 96% on the final to pass. The best exam score you've ever gotten is an 85%. And so we told her, you don't have to suffer the rest of this week. It's probably in your best interest. Just drop out of the program now. You don't have to try to, you know, study for an entire week. Basically, we were trying to nicely tell her, you don't have any hope. There's just no real hope here. You need a 96%. You've never done that before. It's really not worth trying. So we gave her an out. We said, you can just quit now. Forget about this next week. So then she starts crying, as expected, predictable. We had a box of tissues sitting on the table ready for this. So she starts crying, and she starts telling us how she's wanted to come into this program and this profession since she was 12 years old. She'd been saving money to go to this program since she was 12 years old. And she said, I'm not quitting. I'm going to take that final. So she came in and met with me every day for a week. We studied for about an hour. She had 96% on the final and passed the class. Just a really neat story, you know. And it teaches you something. You can have hope if you want to. And as a Christian, it doesn't matter where you're at in life. It does not matter where you're at in life. If you've been failing your entire life, God is not going to tell you, well, you got to get a 96% in the last month of life, or you're just not going to make it. That's not how God operates. At any point in life, He offers hope. It's there for you. You can take it if you want it. God offers that hope. Hope I gave you some things to think about this week. If there's anyone who has a need that we can help address, we'll do that now as we stand and sing.